been looking for a home in this neighborhood, and nothing that fits our needs seems to be available. Then our realtor told us about the FHA 203K program, where we can find a smaller room and use that program to add another room and remodel the home all in the same loan. The same loan we used to purchase the home. What a great idea.
Hey, welcome to Love My Renovation Project. My gosh, it's already March. Can you believe it? Anyway, we're here to discuss all things regarding renovation, whether it's a 203K home style by Fannie Mae or VA renovation, or one of six other renovation loans that are out there. I have a hard time believing it's March 1st already, but this year is just buzzing by. Got my taxes sent off, thank God. Don't have to worry about that, and I don't have to wait till April 15th. Whew. Sometimes, you know, a homeowner that gets into a renovation project may find themselves between a rock and a hard place. You know, most 203Ks go off without a hitch. Lately, there's more and more lenders that are changing the rules to suit their interpretation of the guideline. And it's like the homeowner has nobody to turn to. So if they have an issue, you guys can always go to 203k911.com. Tell us about your project in the little handy, what do you call that thing? I hate to drop. That's the problem of getting older. Being 73 this year, you forget where you were sometimes. But anyway, we have a handy little message portal there that you can send me a message. The subject, I think, is already typed in for you that we have an issue we need some help with. And then give me some information on what the problem seems to be, who's causing the problem. Is it your contractor not showing up to work or whatever it is? And we'll help you solve that situation, tell you exactly what you need to do. It doesn't matter who you are in the transaction. If you're a loan officer and your client has just been stiffed by the contractor or something, you could do this. You could send us the note information, give us the details, and we'll help you work through it. But like they say in Jamaica, man, there is no problems in the 203K. There's only issues. And we can deal with issues. When I was in Jamaica last year with our bus tour driver, told us that, and I thought it was so apropos. We don't have problems in Jamaica. We only have issues, and we can deal with issues. Well, that's the same here with your 203K. Finding the right contractor for your project can be an issue from time to time. Like Sonoma County, Napa County, everything is so busy right now, it's hard to find a contractor that will even take a look at your job. They're rebuilding houses right and left from the fires that we had. So anyway, finding a contractor, contractors typically know that the homeowner doesn't do a lot of construction. And some of them may take advantage of that knowledge. I think they'd be foolish not to a degree, but therefore you might start qualifying your contractors as to whether or not they've ever done an FHA 203K, because most contractors that haven't done a 203K don't want to do it because there's no upfront money. Well, there shouldn't be any upfront money on anything. You do something, you get paid for it. You don't do something, you don't get paid for it. It's pretty simple. But the guideline for the FHA 203K does allow for up to 50% of the material cost. But not all lenders adhere to that, so you're going to have to check with your lender and see if they even do that. And if they do that, how do they do that? They should be telling the consultant or slash inspector at that time. Remember, your consultant is only the consultant until it closes escrow. Then he's the inspector. If you're going to give 50% of the materials up front, that inspector needs to know that. Needs to put it on his paperwork so that his paperwork is straight and he doesn't try to get it again. And you don't, as a lender, make a mistake and give it to him again. And then you're trying to pull it from something else down the road. So if you're going to give a 50% material draw up front and your lender's okay with it, let it run through the inspector so that they can get it into their paperwork. There's going to be a nominal fee, but it's probably not going to be as much as a standard draw. But they're going to get something because their name is on it. And when the homeowner signs this and the buyer and the contractor sign it and the consultant sign it, right above their signature is they're attesting to this work being completed. That statement right above their signature says something like this: all of the work I'm requesting has been completed in a professional and workmanlike manner. How can you sign that knowing there's nothing been done? This is an advance. You know, we got Land Gorilla filled out a form for me the other day, and in it they don't mark four. Number four says this is a deviation from standard. So you'd mark number four if you want me to sign it. And then down below, you put a little four there on the left side in that little box, and then you explain it. This is a materials draw. But that's all they did. What they want to do is get you to swear that that's been installed, and it hasn't. So you want to be careful that the wording is right. Excuse me. The wording right should say the lender has made the decision to pay a 50% material draw and that the work has not yet been done. Even though we're signing saying it has been done, that's the standard form. But in reality, this is a material-only draw to get the contractor money to go buy the materials. That check, just like any other check, should be made out to the borrower and the contractor. That way the contractor can't smooze the borrower and say, hey, I ain't got the check. I need to give me my check. Where's my check? Oh, he's already got it. We had a contractor once where the homeowner was so interested in keeping his project going. And we were waiting for that draw to come in. Now, this was a full standard draw for work completed. So the homeowner drew the check, $13,000, and handed it to the contractor, thinking that when your check comes in, when that draw check comes in, you'll sign it over to me. The contractor will sign it back over to the homeowner. Just the opposite of what typically would happen. And nobody has seen that contractor since. So he took $13,000 from the homeowner, and the lender paid that check directly to the contractor and mailed it to the contractor. Nobody even knew that was going to happen. That's not supposed to happen. But the lender decided to change the rules. They have the right to do supplemental requirements. And they decided on their own that they would just pay that contractor directly and keep this thing moving fast. Well, they did. It moved fast right out of the state. No one's seen that contractor. I don't even know where he is to this date. And that had to have happened 10 years ago. That's just crazy. Homeowner, we had, now he's $13,000 shy of completing his job, completing his home. If we ever find the contractor, we'll go after him. But so far, we haven't been able to. And how long does it take for the statute of limitations to run out? I don't know if it ever does on something like that. So you want to find a contractor that's going to give you a fair deal. But how do you know that? You know that by using the consultant in the first place. If a 203K consultant is doing their job properly, they are going to give you the scope of work and bid that job. They're going to give you the cost and a fair market cost for that work. So let's say that they come out and your fair market price for the work you're going to have done comes out to $60,000 in their opinion. Then you send it out to the contractors for bid, and contractor one comes in at $63,000. That is a good bid. He's in the ballpark. Now, if he comes out at $200,000, you know he's way out of line. If he comes in at $120,000, he's still double what it should be. Okay, but at least you have that benchmark from the consultant that knows what he's doing. So I know I put a I think I'm going to get into that later here. Yeah, I am. So I'll hold that off for a little bit. But so if you're having trouble finding a contractor, you know, most contractors, particularly new to the 203K, want to see that upfront money. They want to see your money in the game before they go out and start committing their money to the game. So, frankly, I don't want a material draw that I don't originate. One, giving material draw without my signature can be problematic in itself. If the lender gives a material draw and doesn't tell the inspector, that can also be problematic. There's another issue. When these lenders hire a servicing organization like Land Gorilla or Built or whatever, they have their idea of how they read the guideline, and it may not be the way it was intended to be read. So using a consultant up front, you're going to get that benefit of that other trained eye on that particular draw. Several of them are out there. They don't have a clue as to what they're doing, and they're winging it. They read the guideline. They think that's enough, and they make their draw and decisions based on that. Lordy, lordy, lordy. Consultants who've been doing this 5, 10, 15, or 20, 25 years, know more than that draw service. And I'd certainly like to know what they're paying those people. They sure moan and groan about our fees, and then they go and pay another person to look at it and pay their fees. Wow. The old guideline used to give you 2 days to pay, make a check out to the contractor. When you turn the draw in, they have 48 hours to turn that in and get that check on its way to the contractor. I have one lender right now that's working on 90 days. He's over 90 days for the final draw. This is putting the contractor in dire straits. You know, he's got no money of his own to work with, and yet he's got a big draw money sitting there. It's also outrageous conduct by the lender. Turns out they're not paying the final draw because the homeowner had received a lien from the water company. An unpaid water bill showed up. I don't even know if it was his water bill. Might not have been. It might have been before, which means it's the title company's going to pay for it because he had ordered a title insurance policy. But it had absolutely nothing to do with the construction on this project or this contract. It wasn't his problem ever. But they're making it his problem by not paying and holding that final check 90 days and still holding it, by the way. 90 days is up. It's time to pay the check. You know, that's crazy. That never should have happened. Over $100? Why didn't the lender just pay the damn lien? Excuse my language. Pay the lien with the money and be done with it and pay the contractor off less $100. The contractor probably would have paid that lien and got his money back later from the homeowner. But you don't hold up thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on a draw over a $100 issue that is not the contractor's issue. You know, that just shows you these lenders, they could care less about your contractor. We have to care about the contractor as inspectors. If we don't treat that contractor right, we're going to have a heck of a time finding him or another contractor to do the work on the next project. But hey, if you've got a topic you'd like us to discuss, go to 203K911, let us know, or you can get on the phone and call the radio show here and talk about it there. Call us at 888-627-6008. Be part of the show. Hey, attention consultants, if you want to change your info at the HUD site, you can call 1-800-CALL-FHA, or you can email answers@FHA.gov. Either one of those will get your address changed. You just got to give them the new information. I've gone on that site and looked at the way people are listed, and I like one that has an email address in it. So I tried to put that on my latest change. And lo and behold, they wouldn't change it. No, you can't do that. You have it done for other people. And I said, what? And they said, yeah. In other words, you can't understand it. It's not true. They do have it for some consultants and not some other consultants. So put your email address there. What's wrong with that? Then people can get a hold of you. If you change your phone number, you're likely not going to change your email address. You know, we're trying to find a consultant in Reno area right now. I called one, left a message. He's voiced his objection to how I do my business, but this is business for him. He's going to deal directly with the lender. He's not dealing with me. But they're so strange the way some of these people run their businesses. I will answer any call that comes in. If you've got an order for us, we prefer that you go to our order blank and give us the information, but we're happy to help you find a consultant if we don't have one in your area. Remember, consultants, this is the year for your recertification. They require it every 2 years, so you've got to change your HUD credentials. That's the time to do it. For all the consultants that may be listening in our audience today, every 2 years, and today, this year is your year. Anyway, well, I think want to call us to be on the show, call us at 888-627-6008, toll free. Be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break, so stay tuned.
We love our neighborhood, and schools here are great for the kids. But our family has outgrown our home due to the new baby on the way. Then we heard about the FHA 203K program, where we can add a room or two to our home and refinance the existing loan, all in one low-interest 30-year loan. What a great idea! Moved into our new home knowing it had faults when we discovered more damage than anticipated. Then we heard about the renovation loan that would allow us to refinance the loan and get the money to make those repairs all in one low interest loan. What a great idea!
Part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. You know, it's interesting. Our weather hasn't quite changed. We're up about 67 to 70 degrees every day now in Las Vegas. But one day here shortly, it's just going to change and instantly be 90. And then a few weeks later, it'll be 100, 110. Today it's extra windy. For any of you who's thinking to come here, be sure and check with me. Call in. I've got friends here right now that are staying downtown in a big hotel, and they keep threatening to stop by. Come on by, baby. Anyway, what's the difference between my home inspection and what the consultant does? That's always a good question. Home inspectors quite often will refer you to other professionals when they see something that needs to be addressed more fully. An example might be for them to refer a licensed roofing contractor to further evaluate the roof. If they can't say it's got 2 or 3 years, depending on your state, HUD only requires at least 2 more years. But if you can't look at that roof and say it's going to last 2 years, then you need to replace it as a consultant. As a home inspector, you're going to make a recommendation that a licensed roofer come out and make that choice, because you don't want that on you if it shouldn't last. I know the last house I bought, they told me it probably had 5 to 10 years left. It leaked 6 months later. Does that mean I get to sue somebody? No. It means I hired the wrong team member, the wrong teammate. So depending on what it is you're planning to do, you may want to ask your home inspector if they are also a HUD consultant. Many are. But FHA only requires a 2-year certification, but some states, like Florida, requires a 3-year remaining economic life on that roof. So on a consultant, when they look at that roof, if they can't say it's got at least, in Florida, 3 years, or anywhere else, 2 years, depending on your state, They should not refer to another professional. They need to make that decision. So your consultant is going to be a better home inspector in that regard, because he's going to say, replace the roof. Now he's going to say, gee, there's two layers up there. We need to remove two layers. Repair, if necessary, the sheathing. And then install tar paper and three-tab shingles, would describe them as best they can. What we do, a lot of times a home inspector will also see maybe a crack in the foundation that requires an engineer to take a look at it, because they're not experts in foundations. Some are, don't get me wrong, but many of them will refer to an engineer to look at that. What we do, we've done this so long, and I've worked closely with engineers. I even had an engineering contractor I had trained as a consultant. We had a lot of fun, he and I, Bill and I did. And what we do is I've always come out with a solution. And then we have the engineer come out with my solution in his hand, and he says yay or nay. And he charges my client $500 instead of $2,000 to $2,500, because he didn't have to come up with the solution. He's merely looking at the solution we came up with and saying, is that a valid solution? Is it the best solution? If he says yay, he charges $500, save my client $1,500. Our fee was only $1,000. So we saved him more than our fee on that one decision. And we may have saved them more and more on that. It was funny, this one great engineer that I've worked with for 25 years in San Francisco Bay Area, he has been so good to my customers over the years. And we finally met at a job site one day. And it was funny, because I'd recommended him for years. And I introduced myself, and he said, oh, gosh, thank you so much for all the work you've send our way. And he says, I like the way you do it. By coming up with a solution, it saves me having to try to figure out what solution is the best one, because you've already figured out the best one. And I don't think he's ever found the solution I came up with different than the one he would have come up with. And he just confirms it. And that's what it's all about, is saving our clients money and getting the job done well at the same time. So, but a consultant is a misunderstood but crucial part of your renovation team. And I got a call, I don't think it was a year and a half, 2 years ago maybe, from a longtime client. Okay, they were asking if I had a list of contractors in the area of their new home. I said, well, I don't like to just put a list of contractors out, because I don't know what your work is. We try to pick the best contractor for the type of work you're going to be doing. If I just hand you a list, what good is that? You don't know if they're busy. You don't know if they have time for your shop project. Why don't you just have us go out there? What it is they were in the area of this Napa and Sonoma fires, and those contractors in those areas are busy, 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 but I could pull contractors in because their house is more towards Sacramento. I could pull Sacramento contractors in and get some other opinions on their work. But their question, frankly, surprised me, because this is what we do. We bid jobs. So what happens when they knew that, and yet when I expressed that sentiment, I was told, well, it isn't for a loan. We're just going to be using our own cash. I got to tell you, whether you're borrowing it or using your bank, saving money is saving money. So why in the world wouldn't you want to know your cost of your project before you get a contractor's bid? I was shocked anyway. Had they called us, they would have got a bid in about 4 or 5 days, depending on the size of the project. It might have been the next day, who knows. But it turns out they've been waiting 2 months and still hadn't identified a contractor that was willing to work on their project. Now, again, if they'd have called us, they'd have known the approximate cost, so they could start making other plans. How much money do we need to sell? You know, how much stock do we need to sell? Not now, boys. Don't do that now. Anyway, so we also could have sent it out to 3 or 4 contractors and got bids, 2 or 3 contractors and got bids, and the nice thing about having the cost in your hand beforehand is that it's empowering. So if you get a $60,000 bid from your consultant, and then you put it out to bid, and the first contractor comes in at $85,000, you know something's wrong. This guy's too busy. He don't have time for my job. So you just say, thank you. We'll get back to you. And you wait. The next contractor's bid comes in at $75,000. Wow, you just saved $10,000 there. But you might have taken the first contractor if you only had one contractor or if you had a consultant's contractor's list. That contractor's list is more important to the consultant than it is to you. He can work that list. He knows who's busy and who's not. I had one contractor. By the way, contractors never get more than 10% of our work. Same contractor will never get more than 10% of our work at any one time. Now, I've heard of other consultants that use the same contractor on every project they've ever done. It's because they don't know how to bid, probably, and they bring the contractor with them when they make their inspection, and he bids the job for them, and they just kind of fall into it. That's not a consultant. That's not the way they're supposed to be. So we could have saved this client months in getting their bid by giving them a bid in 4 or 5 days so they could start planning, and then while we submitted other bids, I always go back to this one that we did for a 24-year-old lady doing her, buying her first home ever. I bid the job at $159,000 in less than a week. Her contractor took about five weeks to bid $298,000 from $159,000 to $298,000. So that right away set up some red flags. Something's wrong here. So we sent it out to bid to another contractor. She picked him out of the phone book. She wanted me to bring a contractor in. No, you bring a contractor in. But what happened was, oh, by the way, her second bid came in at $161 versus my $159 versus her contractor, her original one at $298. What happened? Well, she doted over that first contractor. He went out and looked at several jobs he was working on and said, this is exactly what I want. Oh, my God, you're heaven sent. Well, he said, yeah, and you're silly because you're 24 buying your first house and you're coming to me and telling me how good I am. Well, you're going to pay through the nose for how good I am. And he bid that job at $298. Now, was he trying to take advantage of the situation? Well, maybe a little bit. Or was he just used to working for higher-end clients? And I do know, I talked with him later, and he said that, I don't haggle with my subcontractors. They give me a price, I put my markup on it. I said, you're 20%? He said, no, I put 35. So there's where a lot of that was. He could have taken and done that job for a whole lot less. But in any case, what they thought was, why should we pay a consultant when we could just get contractor's bid, right? No, it's not the same thing. What it is, the consultant is going to create the scope of work for you, so everybody has a list to bid from, and he's going to bid the job. You know, so what happened was this guy that bid the $298,000 for that work, he did not realize our client had somebody that knows what they're doing in their corner, standing in the shadows, okay, if you will. So we see all kinds of properties. You know, when you're doing this 203K stuff, we see some good ones. We see some ugly ones. We see some in nice areas because this does not have to be. No. I'm babysitting my neighbor's dog today and brought the dogs, my dog and their dog, into the studios for today's show. And the new dog is dying to dig into my furniture. Yes, she is. So don't do that. Don't do that. Especially when I'm sitting right here. I don't want my furniture rolling with me. I'm watching it. So anyway, but we see all kinds kinds of properties. I remember seeing one that was built on a steep downsloping lot. You know, typically these steep lots have some tremendous views. This one did. There was a carport at the street along, and along the left side of the carport was nothing but air. I mean, somebody visits you at night and steps off there, they're going to drop about 15 feet before they roll down this steep hill. Not a good sight. There had never been a handrail there until we did our 203K. Then on the right side, there was a staircase down with, I think it just had an upper handrail. It didn't have any slats in it. So we fixed that. And then you walk down the stairs and you hit the deck that went across the front of the house down to the front door on the right side. But as you stepped into the house, there was immediately five steps upward. Just follow me here. And then a, what do you call it, a loft, if you would. That loft area to the right of the front door was a coat closet. And then on the left side, there was steps down to a living room. So that loft actually looked down over the living room, and yet it looked also out the windows. That whole back wall was glass. And they could see a long way. It was just a fantastic wooded view, trees everywhere. I remember a home I was appraising years ago, and some review appraiser said, "How come you're not using this home as a comparable? We want you to grid this house too." And I looked at it and I said, "Well, that there's no way that a house has got a view on that street. I mean, I know the neighborhood." "Well, we want you to grid it." So I went back out there, and when it said it had a wooded view. So when I got there, all it had was the neighbor's 40 cars that he was working on, you know, taking up the street, and all, taking up the street in all areas, all of his neighbors. Oh, my goodness. Hang on just a sec. Don't you dare try to jump off that furniture. Okay, so, and then I climbed up to the front porch of this place, and I'm looking for this view, this wooded view, and I can't find it, so I got the realtor on the phone, and I said, "Hey, I'm out at this listing you had here, and I'm trying to figure, where do you see the view?" And the guy says, "Oh, well, I took a little poetic license there, and if you stand on a chair in the left front room window, and you can see some treetops way in the distance, just the tops, you know, the top foot of these trees over there. That's the wooded view." And I thought, how disgusting are you? You just cost me a trip out here to look at a house that I knew didn't have a chance to be a comp for the one I'm doing. So you got to have good partners, too. That realtor didn't know what he was doing. He was lying. Among other things, he was misrepresenting his client's property. Just all around, no good. No good. But let's get back to this property that we were looking at. It did have a beautiful wooded view as far as you could see. And I'm trying to figure out, did it have a sewer? So I walked up and down the street, and I did not see any sewer lines on this street. And when I checked with the public utilities, they said, "No, sewers haven't got in there yet. Everybody's on septic." Well, I hadn't found a septic on that either. A steep downslope. So I started following the lines, and they looked. They appeared to all go down the hill. We found that septic system 150 feet below the house and at the bottom of the hill. Turns out there was another access road down there, so we could get to it, but it wasn't easy to get to. It wasn't hard as heck to find in the first place, but it did have a septic system that was acceptable. But when you got into that living room, there was a deck off of each side. There was a sliding glass door. It was all taped off with caution tape, "Do not enter," typed up letter on each window. "No access. This is a hazard." So we ended up having to take the floors out of these units. A unit. we had to take the bedroom floors out and the kitchen floor, dining room floor out completely so that we could install the proper cantilevered deck boards for the outside. But when they finished, it was a beautiful home. As I recall, they had over $500,000 in equity in the manner in which they fixed it. So it was quite good. I see equity, major equity, going in a lot of these houses. And I think, okay, Doug, I see I'm 5 minutes behind. I apologize for that. So call us at 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show. I went over, so it'll be a real short break. So hang with us. We'll be right back.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine.
I thought we'd get a construction loan to fix our home, but they wanted 4 points and 9% interest. And if we didn't get the job finished within 6 months, they wanted even more points. Then we heard about the FHA 203K program, where we could refinance our home and get the additional money to make those repairs all in one low-interest loan. What a great idea.
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Oh, let it shine. Hey, you know, when I was first doing the consulting on that particular house, I would just, you know, I had an appointment. I had time set aside to see these people. And, of course, we don't want our time wasted. So when I was first entered the house and we started talking, started getting into my consultation, the next-door neighbor just burst into the house. No knock. She'd come in and started rattling off her topic, what she wanted to talk about. I stopped her dead. I said, excuse me, kindly wait outside. You know, I have an appointment with these people. After my appointment, you can come over and tell them all you want. Oh, okay. But, you know, you got to sometimes take charge of the situation. But this gal was telling her that the house encroached on her property and this and that and other thing. Ultimately, the husband went with her outside and talked to her and listened to her while I worked with the wife, and we got their wish list put together on that one. But overall, when it came time, she was just looking for some money. She wasn't looking to give them any trouble and have them cut the part of their house off or anything. She just felt she should have some money. Well, this house had title insurance from the same company they were getting title insurance from. So the title company worked it out with her, and it was no cost to my clients at all. So anyway, we're getting back to some frequently asked questions. I went over this one last week, I believe, or the week before, but I want definitely to put this out there because we may have a lender that's looking for some new clients. And nonprofits are a tremendous client because you teach them once, and they just keep doing it over, buying and flipping properties right and left. So if I'm a nonprofit, this is the question, can I use the Good Neighbor Next Door program? Well, yes and no. Yes, you can, according to the guideline. No, if you can't find a lender. So we need some loan officers around the country that are willing to loan to nonprofit organizations. You know, I've got several well-heeled nonprofits that have done 203Ks in the past. I've got one in Sacramento, California that would just love to get into this property, this program again. You know, why? Because they get 50% discount and first look at all the foreclosures that HUD has. Wow. What does that do? When they flip them, they're held to 10% profit. This is a way to get affordable housing. So if that house is listed on the HUD website at $500,000, that means an appraisal has been done, subject to repairs that the appraiser might have called. But it's still worth $500,000 based on an actual appraisal. HUD paid for that appraisal. It's a valid appraisal by a certified residential appraiser. So what happens is the nonprofit is going to flash their badge and say, look, I get a 50% discount. So they're going to buy that $500,000 house for $250,000. They're going to be held to 10% profit. So if they put another $50,000 into the house to fix it up, they're in now $300,000, and they're going to add 10%, which is $330,000, roughly, and they're going to sell it at $330,000, and it's worth $500,000. That is a way to get affordable housing in a big way and help your neighbors. So if you're trying to figure out how to get affordable housing in California particularly, where there isn't any anymore, this is one way to do it. And we've got nonprofits ready to go that are well-heeled. They have money. They have the knowledge. And this one in particular I'm thinking of, you will be shocked to see who it is. He's been around a long time, and he's well-known. So if you're a lender and you're willing to loan to nonprofits on a 203K, which I don't have any idea why you wouldn't, we've got some very good borrowers for you. And they'll find their own properties, and they'll bring them, and they'll get this thing done. Another question that we get quite often is, my house is got a foundation issue. Can we work with foundation issues? Well, sure. We work with foundation issues all the time. I remember a duplex, two houses on one lot. One was in the front half of the house, and the other one was behind it. The one behind had no foundation, none whatsoever. I mean, it was pier and post, but it was no perimeter foundation. The lender wanted them to put a perimeter foundation, so that was the basis of the 203K. We did. We put in a perimeter foundation on the front house. It had partial foundation. I don't remember exactly why anybody had done it the way they did, so we ended up finishing the front foundation, putting a complete new foundation on the back house, and now they've got a much better property. But if you're going to deal with foundation, you need to have an engineer involved, unless you are one. Maybe a couple of them will end up a soils engineer and to tell you what type of footing, and who knows, you know, just let them decide. This is likely the most difficult repair that we make, so it needs to be completed with proper engineering. A lot of foundation issues can be directly related to faulty grading conditions. I think HUD said that 98% of the foundation issues around the country can be related to faulty grading. So it's no surprise to me when you're doing a 203K that you have to do some grading work. You want to be specific. I know one guy we'd call for some grading, and it was shovel work. It wasn't tractor work, but when we got out there, the tractor was still sitting there, and it was the nicest grading I've ever seen. He had taken that tractor and gone around that house. Now the water would flow, clearly flow well away from the foundation at the right pitch. Silly dogs. Anyway, it was just a very, very nice job. It was way more than it needed. They told me the whole thing was only $400. He had it graded properly, so that's not a big expense. And now he's got perfect grading. I had an engineering contractor that I was training to be a consultant on my staff. And we walked through one home, and he noticed a crack on the wall that went from the floor on one side of the room to the ceiling behind us, and then from the floor on the other side of the room back up to the ceiling behind us. I pointed out that the crack was wider at the top than it was at the bottom, and I would expect to see a grading issue outside that wall. His reaction was so strange to me. He told me there's no way in the heck I could possibly know what the grading was outside that house from that crack. And I could see the house was falling apart. It was falling away from the house, meaning that it had a hole out there and the foundation was falling into it and cracking the drywall. So his reaction shocked me, but then he got his coveralls on and he climbed under that house. And what we did when we went outside is we found a gutter along the, I think the backside of that house was 98 feet long. There was one gutter and one downspout, and it was just a drop outlet because the downspout, they popped the hole or the outlet for the water to drain directly over the center of that window in the dining room. Now, I don't know if they were planning to put a chain down there and guide it into a system, a drainage system, but they didn't. And it had eroded a big hole in the ground out there because it dropped 8 feet down to the ground and hit right at the foundation, and it was clearly a hole there. When he came out from under the house, he noticed that I was absolutely right, and our solution was to put a dead man, you know, to jack that part of the foundation back up where it belonged, and then put a dead man under there and pour concrete. We actually put two dead men under there. Not real dead men, for all you people that don't know the construction terminology, but concrete with steel in it that was perpendicular to the existing foundation, and it would actually support the foundation. There was no cracks in it, in the original foundation. It was just falling into a hole. So, anyway, their solution, I don't know what gave them an idea that they could put a downspout in the middle of that window and then not put any drainage. You must control the water around your house, or you're going to have foundation issues. So, we could have done this with push piers or ram jacks. We could have done a lot of things, but it was still a viable foundation. If you've never seen push piers or ram jacks or whatever, one website with lots of videos is eaglelifting.com. Eaglelifting.com, all one word. And another is ramjack.com. They got videos on there to show you the process. We've used them on many projects now, and they've almost always been the best solution. The first time I used them was up in Auburn, California. The foundation had 4-inch wide cracks throughout the kitchen and the dining room. This house was settling all over. The solution was to lift the house up, remove the foundation, and re-pour a foundation, which the bids were coming in at $60,000 to $80,000. Eagle Lifting came out, looked at it, gave us a bid of $20,000. And what they did was they tied onto the outside of the foundation, bolted their equipment to that, and then they drove high pressure concrete straight down. And also, it was in a 3-inch pipe, very thick wall pipe. I think it was almost 3/8 of an inch thick wall pipe, and they force it down on the ground, then they fill it with this high pressure concrete. So it stays in the ground forever, but they keep going down and down and down until they hit solid rock. And once they hit solid rock, the foundation starts lifting. And they will set that up to level that entire house within 1/8 of an inch throughout the entire house. It won't be more than 1/8 of an inch difference. And it was fantastic to watch this process. And I asked them, I said, the day you're going to do this, I'd like to be there. They had several other ones. They had a patent on some high-density foam, and where the sidewalk on the backyard had settled, and it was no longer level, they just drove some holes in it, and they shot this high-density foam into the hole, and their apparatus was bolted to the concrete at that point. And as it did, it shoot a little bit more until they got this thing to move. And all of a sudden it started lifting. And when it got level with the other side, they'd stop, pull their equipment off of it and go somewhere else. As that foam is guaranteed for 30 years. Your foundation repair is guaranteed for 30 years or warranted. If anything happens, anything starts to crack or settle anymore, they'll come back out and fix it for nothing. So, we're 5 minutes over again. Sorry, Doug. Anyway, call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free and be part of the show. We're going to be right back after this short break. So hang in there. Thank you.
looking for a home in this neighborhood, and nothing that fits our needs seems to be available. Then our realtor told us about the FHA 203K program, where we can find a smaller room and use that program to add another room and remodel the home all in the same loan. The same loan we used to purchase the home. What a great idea.
How would you like? We're back with you. Thanks for joining us. It's 888-627-6008. Toll free, be part of the program. We have a seminar that we do. I get a kick out of lenders that use this service, but realtors could make a fortune doing our service because we guarantee 50 deals, 50 escrows, 50 loans with a simple seminar that we put on. Realtors, you get new listings right and left. You get new agency agreements, and we give the sale to you right there. We lock these people into a loan right in front of your eyes. So we put on the seminar. Part of the seminar is to educate, and then we help put you together with a new home buyer that happened to be in that room. And it doesn't have to be a new home buyer. It can be anybody looking to buy a house. And maybe they haven't found the right house. We teach realtors how to find real estate when the market is naked. There's nothing. Sometimes you just don't have any inventory. Well, you do have inventory. It's just not the inventory they're looking for. So if they're looking for a four-bedroom, two-bath house, and all you have is three-bedroom, two-bath houses, add a bedroom. It's a 203K. So if all they have is two-bedroom houses, one bath, so you add two bedrooms and a bath. You know, every house you show with most of the parameters can be made into the house they want. And if you understand nuances about the 203K or renovation loans in general, you can make these houses into what they are looking for. You know, you've got, who was it? I was in Modesto, California one time, and the lender there told me that I got 105 borrowers qualified and no houses. The market is dry. There's nothing in the MLS. I made one phone call to a friend of mine that was a investor. And I, you know, I'd just been driving through town, and I'd seen boarded up houses right and left. I must have seen 50 or 60 of them. That's why I try not to do that. I end up buying. I've bought and sold over 300 homes that we flipped. But most consultants do that. They're looking for houses too. What we ended up doing is I called this friend of mine that was an investor, and I said, I'm just curious. You moved to Modesto. Do you have any houses for sale that you could wholesale? And they said, yeah, I've got 125 houses. Now, the lender just told me they had 105 borrowers. This investor has 125 houses. So you got 105 borrowers for those houses. Why not put those two people together? And that's what we do in this seminar, is we put people together. And who's the big beneficiary? The lender makes a lot of loans. And the realtor that hosts that dinner, that hosts that party, is going to get a whole bunch of listings. He's going to get contracts signed, sealed, and delivered that night. And if the house isn't the one that they like or want to work with, then he's still got an agency agreement. They can go show him another house. So out of the 105 borrowers in that particular lender's bank and 125 boarded up houses in this investor's bank, do you think we could put some deals together? Absolutely. I think I could have sold every home buyer a house, and we could have done it lickety-split, and it would have made several people very, very happy. I think my dogs are I don't think I want to bring another visiting dog to my office anymore. Anyway, getting back to where we were, most foundation issues are minor cracks that merely need to be monitored and addressed to keep them from getting any worse. Foundation cracks, you know, that's a fact. Foundations crack. That's a fact. If there's no separation or deflection or any rotation, then is there anything wrong? Probably got steel in it. It's going to be there. But foundations are porous. They're like a big sponge. Water can travel through them. That's why they don't use concrete swimming pools. They use gunite. But it may need to be that the grading needs to be improved to keep it from getting any worse. Okay. In older homes in particular, we see the installation of sprinkler systems all around the house, facing the house, so the water is directed up against the foundation. Worst place you can do it. I know my brother's Labrador Retriever used to love those puddles of water that would puddle up next to the foundation, and he found that if he dig a hole, the water got deeper. So he'd dig a hole underneath the leaking faucet and lay in that hole and let that water drip on him. My brother would walk that dog down the street to a friend's house that had a pool. His dog could not see a puddle or a pool that he wouldn't jump into. Not very happy. Not very happy in all cases. He didn't make everybody happy. So, anyway, if you're looking for more volume sales, we can put together 50 loans in your area, regardless of what area it is. Anywhere in the country, this works. I'm going to skip back here. Oh, here we go. I want to thank everybody for being with us today. Join us next Sunday, between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We broadcast to you from our Las Vegas offices in Nevada. We look forward to seeing you next time. Please bring your questions and plan on calling in. We have much more fun when you call. We have callers. So give us a call. Until then, may God bless you.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.